Once again, a warm welcome to our service here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 19 this evening. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 4. We will read. Exodus chapter 19, verse 1 reads, "In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself." Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, please teach us this evening. Teach us, Lord, your word. Help us to walk uprightly and godly in this present evil world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God's preamble to obeying him with heart. That's the title of my sermon tonight, God's preamble in obeying him with heart. This chapter, Exodus chapter 19, is overshadowed in most of our minds by the next chapter, which is Exodus chapter 20. Many of us know Exodus chapter 20. Oh yes, the Ten Commandments. But if you and I were to be questioned on Exodus chapter 19, we would probably struggle. So many of us know Exodus chapter 19 as a key chapter in the Scriptures, just like Hebrews chapter 11 is a key chapter on the subject of faith. It is this chapter, Exodus chapter 19, that links the events that lead up to this point, lead up to chapter 18, and with chapter 20 beyond. This is where God could be worshipped truly, and God's people are brought to that next stage in their experience. From chapter 20, God explains very clearly and specifically what he expects of his people. So up until chapter 18, we read of God's people being led out of Egypt, and chapter 19 is like the link between the first 18 chapters and chapter 20 and beyond. We have from chapters 20 to 24 of Exodus what we refer to as the Mosaic Law. The regulations or the conduct regulations for Moses to pass on to the people of Israel. And that is the essence of chapters 20 to 24, beginning with the Ten Commandments. And then from chapter 25, you'll note chapter 25 to the end of the book, chapter 40, the main focus here is on the building of the tabernacle. As it reads there in chapter 25, verse 8, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." So chapters 20 to 24, we have the heart of what we refer to as the Mosaic Law. And then from chapter 25 until the end of the book of Exodus, the main focus is on the building of the tabernacle. This is where God could be approached and where God is worshipped. The tabernacle, the building of the tabernacle, and all that took place within the boundaries of the tabernacle that we will study, God willing, in the months to come, illustrate for us what we refer to as the new covenant. The new covenant that takes over the Mosaic law or the Mosaic covenant, which was yet future. And it equates to man being restored back to God and man in communion with a holy God. There in the book of Jeremiah, please, chapter 31, makes reference to this new covenant. Please, chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Note then verse 31 to 34. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, it reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and will remember their sin no more." So this gives us some insight concerning this new covenant of which the tabernacle will picture, where man is restored back to God and man can commune with God. See, it is by the law that God reveals man's sinfulness and man is condemned before a holy God. Go to Galatians, please, chapter 3. In the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. Verse 22 reads, "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Verse 25, "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." So it's by the law that God reveals to you and I that we are sinful and condemned before a holy God, in need of forgiveness, in need of redemption. And the Mosaic Law there in Exodus from chapter 20 to 24, in essence, reveals the demands of God, the demands of a holy God upon man, and ultimately the fact that man cannot meet those standards because man is dead in trespasses and sin. So it's by the law God reveals man's sinfulness and condemnation. You've only got to go through the Ten Commandments, and all of us, at some point in time, in the quietness of our own heart, we have broken some, if not most, of those commandments, one way or another. But it is through the vicarious death, that is, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that we are redeemed from our sin and we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what the new covenant is all about. This is what God promised his people, that no longer will God be on the exterior, God can be on the interior of the human heart. As 1 Peter 3:18 reads, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just, that is Jesus Christ, for the unjust, you and I, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, resurrected from the dead in the power of the Holy Spirit." So in essence, the law, by the scriptures, God reveals to you and I that we are sinful, we are condemned, but it is through the vicarious death, the substitutionary death, Jesus Christ dying in our place, dying for our sins on the cross, that you and I can be redeemed by faith and by faith alone. Because the just died for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. So we see within the book of Exodus the condemnation of the law and the demands put upon man to obey his standard. And yet beyond that, we have the introduction of the tabernacle, and where man can be restored back to God and man can be in communion with God. A wonderful illustration of what we refer to as the new covenant. So with this overview of the book of Exodus, let's return, please, to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Because I trust that this will help us to value this very important chapter. Because this is God's preamble to obeying him, to obeying God with heart, as opposed to just going through the motions. All of us can be guilty of just going through the motions of obedience. And that's a sad state to be in. And I would think that all of us that have been Christians for a period of time are guilty, have been guilty, of just going through the motions of Christianity, doing what we are expected to do, what we know to do, but without heart, without basis. The missing ingredient is the contents here within Exodus chapter 19. This is the key. This is God's preamble to obeying him with heart. Preambles are important. They set the stage for what is to come. A preamble is an introduction. And this is well illustrated in the first couple of lines of our Australian Constitution, of which I have here for you this evening. By the way, it needs to remain as it is. It doesn't need to be altered. If a naughty child, like the Socialist Communist Light Labour Party, touches that which they should not, the Australian Constitution, and gets away with it, then that naughty child will try to change other portions of this constitution. So we just need to honour it and leave it alone. And all of God's people said, amen to that. Amen. Let me give you one reason why we need to leave it alone. The first couple of lines of our Australian constitution. This is how it reads. This is the preamble. Where's the people of New South Wales, of course, New South Wales is number one, first, Victoria, South Australia, Queensland and Tasmania, humbly relying on the blessing of Almighty God. This is our Australian Constitution. Humbly relying on the blessing of Almighty God. This is a powerful preamble, introduction to our Australian Constitution. It gives us what is needful for us to fulfill the responsibilities within our Constitution, that we need to humbly rely upon the blessing of Almighty God. Powerful introduction. We need to depend on our Almighty God, for He is the channel of blessing upon our nation. A wonderful preamble. And so likewise, we see here in Exodus chapter 19, God's preamble. God's preamble. God's people are exhorted to look to Almighty God for blessing. And before God spells out what He demands of them, and that's what we find in chapter 20, 21, 22, 23, and concluding with chapter 24, He introduces, He prepares them. God provides a preamble to obedience. And this is a key to obeying God from our heart. As I'm sure you've noticed, for those of us that are familiar with Exodus chapter 20, that it pretty well jumps in, and straight away you've got the Ten Commandments. Well, that's a continuation of chapter 19. See? It's the outflow of what has taken place in chapter 19. Now, at this stage in Israel's history, Israel has been on the road for some 3 months, according to verses 1 and 2 of Exodus chapter 19. Note there in verse 1 it reads, "In the third month." So Israel has been on the road. They've been making their way out of Egypt for some 90 days. They are camped at the foot of Mount Sinai, the Bible teaches us, which is in the Sinai Peninsula. The Sinai Peninsula is that V-shaped land area surrounded by the Red Sea, joining Egypt with the land of Israel. And according to Numbers chapter 10, it would seem that they are camped here, they will be camped here for almost a year. And with purpose. This mount, Mount Sinai, is also referred to as Horeb, and the mountain of God in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, this is where God initially called Moses through the burning bush that wasn't consumed. It was here. And if you go back to Exodus chapter 3, please, Exodus chapter 3, note then verse 12. Exodus chapter 3 verse 12, "And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." upon this mountain. So this is where God initially called Moses through the burning bush. And God fulfills his promise right here in Exodus chapter 19. Now how rewarding it must have been for Moses to reflect on God calling him and in leading God's people out of Egypt. And now he is back where he first encountered God, where God called him and commissioned him to be his man in leading the nation out of bondage. So this is the setup here. Now we note here in verse number 3, if you go back to Exodus chapter 19, the third verse, it reads, "And Moses went up unto God." So here in Exodus 19, God's preamble in obeying him with heart, how can we maintain a heart in our obedience? How can we, as Bible-believing Christians, be guarded against just going through the motions, becoming mechanical in our obedience to God? That's a good question. It's answered here in Exodus chapter 19. It begins, as we see here in the third and fourth verse, that God reminds Israel of what he has done for them. God reminds Israel in what he has done for them. So after Israel had camped at the foot of Mount Sinai, Moses makes his way up to seek God. The Bible teaches us if we seek him, we shall find him. So Moses went up unto the mount, and the Bible teaches us in the third verse, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain. And what God gives to Moses is for the people. Because note that at the end of verse number 3, it reads, "Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." So God said to Moses, "Moses, what I tell you, what I teach you, I want you to pass on to the household of Israel." What God gives to Moses is for the people of Israel. And what God gives to the preacher is intended for those that have a listening ear. So listen carefully to what God gives you this evening that you can pass on to others. What does God want his people to be mindful of? And this is so critically important. This is God's preamble to obeying God with heart. We must always come back to what God has done for us. So God reminds his people what he has done for them. And God said to Moses, "I want you to tell the people, I want you to remind them of what I have done for you and your people." So what does God want his people to be mindful of as they obey him? Note then verse number 4, please. The first part of verse 4 reads, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." God wanted his people to be mindful what God had done to the Egyptians, the enemy. They held them in bondage. The Egyptians were harsh. They were cruel. They were destructive. And my friend, that is what sin is. It holds us in bondage to death, hell, and judgment. But just like God defeated the Egyptians and set them free, Jesus Christ has dealt with sin. And he has set us free from the penalty and power of sin. Note there in the Gospel of John chapter 8, please. The Gospel of John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. Note there in verses 34 to 36. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Jesus Christ has set us free in and through his death, burial, and resurrection. And God said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to tell the people they need to be mindful. They must never lose sight of the fact of how God, your God, has dealt with the enemy, the Egyptians." And may God help us as Bible-believing Christians to never lose sight of the fact that it's because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have victory in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ defeated death and took the punishment of our sin upon himself. He dealt with the Egyptians. God dealt with that enemy, sin and death. And praise God for that. But also note there in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, it goes on to read, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians." God said to Moses, "Moses, I want you to remind the people of Israel concerning how I defeated the Egyptians and set you free." But note this next little phrase here. "And how I bear you on eagle's wings." How I bear you on eagle's wings. Not only what I did to the enemy, but Moses, I want you to remind the people of Israel what God has done for them in saving them. Now, when young eagles are learning to fly, the mother eagle flies under them with her wings spread out to catch them as they free fall. And in the same way, as a way of illustration, you and I were once free falling in sin. We were free falling in sin to a Christless eternity, a place called hellfire. But God provided wings of salvation in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to catch us at that point of time that we repented of our sin and by faith received Jesus Christ as Savior. God has, so to speak, put out his wings and saved us from destruction. Just like that mother eagle would save his younglings as they are free falling, learning to fly, she would be there below them to catch them lest they die sadly. By this, the mother eagle saves her younglings from death. And is this not what Jesus Christ has done for us? Not only has he dealt with sin, dealt with the Egyptians, addressed the penalty of sin, addressed the power of sin, and one day he'll deliver us from the presence of sin, but he has saved us from spiritual death. Look at John, please, chapter 5, verse 24. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 24, it reads, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What God did to save his people. What God did to the enemy, the Egyptians. And then if you go back to Exodus chapter 19, note the last little portion of verse 4. It reads, "And brought you unto myself." God said to Moses, "Tell the children of Israel, remind them, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. Remind them. Remember what your God did to the Egyptians. And how I bear you on eagle's wings, how I saved you, I delivered you out of bondage. I've set you free and brought you unto myself." Brought you unto myself. Moses, remind the children of Israel what I did to the Egyptians. And how I saved you. And how I brought you unto myself. What God has wrought. Moses, remind them. What God has done for you and your people. See, the work of redemption, which the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt well illustrates, is to reconcile sinners to a holy God. And with this redemption comes a new standing. This is this new covenant that is mentioned there in Jeremiah chapter 31 that we just read. We are no longer aliens to God. No longer is our father the devil. We enter into a close communion. We are now the sons of God. But to as many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Moses, I want you to remind the people how I brought you unto myself. This new standing, this new relationship, no longer aliens, no longer children of the devil, but now the sons of God. And as sons of God, God is our heavenly Father. And we enter into a close relationship with him. And we can have sweet communion with him. In fact, we can call him our Abba, Daddy, Father. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This new relationship. Moses, remind the children of Israel what I did to the Egyptians. Remind the children of Israel how I saved you. Moses, remind the children of Israel of this new relationship that you now have with your God. Remind them. To be reminded of what we have spiritually. That is what God has done for us. That God has defeated sin, death, and hell. And we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. In his death, burial, and resurrection. And upon receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am now a child of God. And nothing will ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I can call God the Father my Abba Father. I can call him Daddy. That's a precious word. That's set aside for a father. And that comes from the lips of a son, of a child. Daddy, I brought you unto myself. To be reminded of what we have spiritually, what God has done for us. Beloved, listen to me carefully, is a good preamble, a good introduction to obeying God from our hearts. If we are mindful of how God has dealt with our enemy, sin, and we are mindful that I've been saved by God, and if we are mindful that I am no longer a child of the devil, I'm now a child of God. God is my heavenly Father. I'm a son of the King. I'm a son of the King of Kings, and nothing will ever alter that relationship. That ought to be a wonderful preamble to obedience from the heart. See, if we value, what we have come from, it will motivate us to serve God in sincerity and in truth. If we lose sight as to why we are doing what we are doing, it could well be that we have lost sight. We are failing to remember what God has delivered us from. See? Why do we love others? Because God loved us. Why do we tell others about Christ? Because somebody told us. To remember, to be reminded, is needful. And this is one key. There are two other keys in this chapter. One key to obedience from the heart. And I trust that this preamble, to be mindful of what God has done for us, will keep our hearts soft and cause us to obey God from the heart. And it will help us to not become mechanical in our obedience. Moses, tell the children of Israel. Remind them. The need to remember. The need to remember. Are we not commissioned as God's people on a regular basis to remember the broken body, the shed blood of Christ? Talk to me. Why? Because God brings us back to the basics. We're saved by God's grace. It was at a price. The blood of Christ was shed. His body was broken. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And we must never lose sight of that. And I would think that we at times become mechanical in our obedience. And we just go through the motions because we are failing to remember how God dealt with the Egyptians and how God saved us. and how we now have a new relationship with him as a child of God. God's preamble to obeying him with heart. In our next study, we will see within Exodus chapter 19, God's preamble, as we've chosen to call it, what we need to be. Be comes before do. Got it? Be, to be, comes before do. We remember, this is what we are to be, and then what we need to see. What we need to see. Remember, be, see, before we do. And if we will attend to these, remember, be, and see, we will obey God from the heart. And I would like to think that our hearts will be protected from becoming mechanical. So we'll look at the being and we'll look at the seeing from the remainder of Exodus chapter 19 another time. But for now, remember, this is the basis. Without Christ, you and I would still be dead in trespasses and sin. Let's never lose sight of our salvation. How God dealt with the Egyptians, how God saved us, and how God has brought us into a new relationship with himself. This new covenant, the hope of Christ living, abiding within us. Not only restored, reconciled to God, but we can be in communion with God. All because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Let's never forget. Let's never forget. That's the key to keeping our hearts soft and obeying God with heart. Otherwise, you and I will just deteriorate and just mechanically obey the word of God. And that's not how it should be. Let's bow for prayer.